We are only 9 days away from the Keystone Chapters Meet the Blind Month event, Believe You Can, virtual talent show. And on this episode of the I Can't See You podcast, I'm going to bring on my co-hosts, Harriet Goh and Lisa Andrews, to talk all about it.
From Studio C, welcome to the I Can't See You podcast with David. He can't see, but he's got a lot to say and a face for radio.
Hello there, and welcome to episode 95 of the I Can't See You podcast. My name is David, at David Benj on all the socials. I really appreciate you joining me for today's episode, and I do have a good one lined up. I'm going to be bringing out Lisa and Harriet, and the three of us are going to be co-hosting Believe You Can, which is coming up on the 17th of October, and we'll get to those guys in a second. But first, it's episode 95, and you know, I've been thinking about it, and I thought all along I was going to come out and tell you, well, episode 95, I'll call this the I-95 episode, because in my lifetime, I've taken quite a few trips down Interstate 95 into Florida, and that is just a hateful trip from suburban Philadelphia all the way down there. It's around 18 or 19 hours, and it is flat and boring, and it is horrible. And I thought, well, it's 95. I did the trip a lot. I went to college in Miami, so I had to take my stuff back and forth, and it's just not a fun trip. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, episode 95 is going to be the last episode recorded in Studio C. So I was trying to come up with an idea. Is it a see you later? Or is it just so long, Studio C? I don't know. It's one of those. Let's call it So Long, Studio C. It is the episode 95 of the I Can't See You podcast, So Long, Studio C. And, before we get to Lisa and Harriet, I also wanted to update you with very exciting news, and no one else really cares, I'm sure, but myself. Fantasy football update. I actually won this week, so I am now 1-3 out of last place of the all-blind fantasy football league. I'm actually in 10th place, so I jumped up two spots. I jumped ahead of the guy I beat, who was in 11th and is now at the bottom, and I jumped above one other person. And so very exciting. I am number 10 in the all-blind fantasy football league. The person who's just in front of me has so many points, even though we have the same record, there's no way I will catch her. She's actually the person who is doing the case study from Verizon Media on our league. And, I have to tell you, I may finish dead last in this league, but everybody's going to feel like a winner with the amount of money that we're getting paid to do the case study. I think I told you that there was an intro interview where we all got paid $100. And each week we have to fill out a survey form about what we did and how we did it and which platforms we used to get onto the Fantasy Football League, whether we used our iPhone or we used a computer or whatever else, a tablet, whatever. And so we're getting paid $25 per week, and let's keep our fingers crossed that there are 16 weeks in this NFL season. At this point, that's in question, I think, with the different teams having some COVID issues. And on the day I record this, which this part I'm recording on Thursday, the day I'm releasing it, it'll be interesting to see what goes on with the rest of the season. Hopefully they do get a full season in. And I listened to on That Real Blind Tech Show, which is a podcast with Brian and Ed. Both are in the All Blind League. In fact, Brian is the one that set it up. Brian is the commissioner. Kasiah was on, and and she talked about it. I have to say how much more fun it is this year. And again, my team isn't really that much better than my team last year, where I had to auto draft, as I've mentioned before, because I was at a Head in the Heart concert the day of the draft. But it's so much fun that people are more active in the forums and not really doing trash talking, but it's getting to the point where that may come. And it's just been fun. And it's been a good distraction over the politics of the day and everything else that's going on, the election news, both of which I am so tired about. So, Jane and I were looking for something to watch. We had finished, we were watching a show, and I'm going to get the name of it wrong. It's a Canadian show. It was called, I think it was called Burden of Truth. I couldn't see the graphic at the beginning, so I think it's called Burden of Truth. There are three seasons out, two of which are available on Hulu. We really liked it. But because it was only two seasons, we went through it pretty quickly. We watched, you know, an episode a day, basically. And I think the first season had 10 and the second season had 8. There's a third season. It's not available on Hulu yet. So hopefully that'll happen soon because, you know, now we're looking for something to watch. And one of Liz's co-teachers or teachers at school said, oh, why don't they watch West Wing from the beginning? Why on earth would I want to watch some political show, some show about politics? You know, listen, if it were about spies and there was things like that, maybe I'd get into it. And I tried to talk Jane into watching Tehran, which is on Apple TV. She is just not into that stuff. And, you know, some of the stuff she likes, you know, she wants there was some sort of murder mystery thing that she wanted to do. More suspenseful than, you know, things like Criminal Minds, which Liz is also watching with us. So Liz, Jane, and I watch that, and Jacob sometimes too. So if you have any ideas on something you think we might like, please reach out, 646-926-6350. We should have some time coming up to watch some TV. And again, you can also use that number to call with questions about blindness or anything else that I may have mentioned on a podcast episode. Or if you have an idea for an upcoming episode, that would be great. Please let me know if it's okay if I use your recorded voice on an upcoming episode. I think it would be very cool. And I know we've done it in the past, and it would be fun to do it again. Again, 646-926-6350. You can also reach out at icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Remember, I can't see you. Sounds like a whole sentence, but it's only 7 letters long. icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. And as I am recording this, it is Thursday, the 8th of October. In 2 days' time, we are officially moving from our condo in Swarthmore to our house in Swarthmore. So it has just been super busy. And we've been running back and forth to the house, checking up on the construction of what's going on. And that actually has been running a little slow. So that has us a little concerned with, will it be ready in time? The office is not as important as Jacob's room because Jacob will not have a proper bedroom if that is not done by the time we move in on Saturday. Saturday is when the furniture gets moved. But as I said, we've been moving boxes and carrying stuff over the last week or so, as well as looking for appliances, which we bought, and some other things for this place. So once we move out, we can fix it and stage it. So it will then sell, hopefully, for top dollar. And that's where we hope that our realtor, Branka Deutsch, will do some more magic like she did when we sold our house in Media 4 years and change ago. So there's a lot going on between the moving and the selling, and believe you can. So without further ado, let's bring out Harriet and Lisa. Harriet Goh is the president of the Keystone Chapter of the NFB of PA. And Lisa Andrews is the secretary of the Keystone Chapter of the NFB and PA. Harriet and Lisa, I really appreciate you guys coming on today.
Oh, it's great to be here, David.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You are welcome. And as I mentioned in the intro, the three of us, besides being board members of the Keystone Chapter of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania, we are going to be the co-hosts of the Believe You Can talent show next week on the 17th of October. Again, tickets are available at believeyoucan.live. And Harriet, do you want to talk about how we came about putting the show together?
Sure. Thanks, David. So we typically do a lot of outreach activities with our community, the NFB of Pennsylvania's Keystone Chapter, which is one of the local chapters of the National Federation of the Blind of Pennsylvania. And we have regularly planned and scheduled outreach activities with our community and our members to get involved in the community, but also for the sighted community to get to know us and our organization and about what we do and how we can be a potential resource for them or someone they know who is losing vision, one of their family members or their friends. Now, because of COVID-19 and the pandemic, we kind of had to stop our community outreach effort. engagement activities with our communities, our local communities. So we really had to figure out a way how we could continue doing these kind of activities, but also keep people safe from the COVID-19 virus. And, you know, we did a lot of brainstorming with the board. We thought of different ideas. We, you know, tossed some ideas around. And what really struck us as really a great way to engage everyone and also for our members to get involved is this virtual talent show. This is something very unique, and it was sparked on by something that is very negative, the COVID virus, and you know, kind of pushed us to do something really positive for our community as well as our members. And that's really how it was born, just because we were forced to do it because of a not so favorable situation, and we turned it into a positive thing. So we kind of took that lemon and squeezed mm-hmm. it and made it into sweet tasting lemon juice and lemonade, not lemon juice, lemonade. And you know, we're adding sugar and spice and everything nice. And so it's a great opportunity for us to continue the work that we do and really just promote the philosophy of our organization and the potential of blind people to do what they believe they can do in life.
Right. I think it's important too. You know, so many people don't know what blind folks go through and, you know, things they can do. As I was talking, with someone who is in the All Blind Fantasy Football League, actually the person who is paying us to do the case study, and I'll probably do an episode of that later on in the season. As we were talking, you know, we've all gone through where we might be out on the street trying to find our way, and we're doing fine, but somebody sees us walking and they say, oh, they must need help. Meanwhile, we've traveled, you know, 19 of the 20 mm-hmm. miles we needed to get to someplace, and they think that I just happened to get there out of luck, and they're going to help me the last, you know, one step of the way, which, you know, again, as I said to her, and as I'm sure you guys have said, if you need help, you'll ask, and if you don't, you're just going to try and get there on your own. And so I think it is so important for folks to see blind folks, you know, doing whatever they can, and being as, you know, doing just like everybody else does. You know, people watch football, people go to concerts, people get on the bus or the subway. And that's been the issue with COVID. You know, I don't want to get on, you know, a bus or a train or a subway and have to feel around for something. That's the last thing I want to do is start touching stuff while you're, you know, while you're out and about. And Lisa, I would imagine, you know, you have the same inklings. You don't want to get, you know, onto public transport if you don't have to, you know, to get anywhere. Is that, you know, would that's pretty accurate or?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, something, I want to take you back on something you said about this being an opportunity for the rest of the general community, sighted community, to see blind, visually impaired people just living life. And I think there's been a lot of focus on how blind people function. Like, how do they cook? How do they get to work? How do they work? But it's time to shift that to how do they play? And what talents and gifts are there in someone who's blind that are just as remarkable as someone who's sighted? I mean, this slate of performers is just all over the place in a wonderful way. You know, we have an older gentleman playing a violin. We've had some younger people doing spoken word. We have singing. We have clogging. You know, I mean, it's just all over the place, which is a great, great thing. And I think it's going to be great for us also, putting on a show, because we're seeing some of these things for the first time too. So it's going to be, I think, encouraging all the way around. And it is, and what I get is, because I've been the contact for all of the talent, what I'm getting from people is they are so excited to be sharing themselves in a safe way. And I think that's why we're getting people far beyond our little Philadelphia area.
Right. And that's, and I think that's important too. And it's, you know, it's, a, you said something there. One of the things when we've been helping Trish and Catherine with Philly Touch tours, you know, when they've been training at different museums, one of the stereotypes of blind folks is they can all sing. And I honestly don't want to, I don't want to prove that wrong, but I will. And I may in the last week before ticket sales end, I may actually do a video of that. We're going to see if I have the balls to do it, but you know, that's moving forward. You know, we all don't, but we do have different talents, and some people are smart in some way. And, you know, if you just look at our chapter and even look at Harriet, Harriet's a school teacher. Yeah. I certainly couldn't do that because I've seen how Liz does it with her kids in her classroom. And, you know, I'm sure Harriet has it the same way. Even the Harriet, would you say you've had it's not as easy. Some of the things that you have to do are well beyond what a sighted teacher in the same position as you has to do. It's a lot different, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, some people don't even realize it because I don't think it's important to make a big deal about how difficult some things are, you know, just by the fact that I'm a blind person. I just think, you know, okay, well, that's what I have to do to compete on the same level of equality as my sighted peers. For example, one of the things that I request from my district is for my teachers' manuals to be in Braille. A lot of times it doesn't come on time, which is another issue, or it doesn't even come to me at all until our school has decided to use a new edition of that curriculum. So a lot of times I'm spending hours at nights and on weekends doing my own brailing, just so that I'm prepared to teach my students. I mean, it's something I have to do. I'm not going to say, oh, well, I don't have it in Braille. I can't teach that lesson. If something's part of the curriculum and I'm responsible for teaching it, I'm going to make it so that I have what I need in order to be the most ready that I can for my students.
Right. So, you're going to figure the way to do it and get it done.
Exactly. It's kind of what we're doing with the talent show. You know, when life gives you lemons, you make lemonade. And, you know, it is, you know, sometimes we need to do extra steps, but that's really the beauty of, like, the beauty behind it is that we are independent and we can do those things, and we can find ways to be resourceful and adaptable so that, you know, one of the things that we believe is, you know, the world doesn't cater to us. You know, we have to make ourselves ready to be on equal counterparts as our sighted colleagues and sighted coworkers or sighted students, sighted classmates, or, you know, fellow homeowners, you know, whatever it may be, you know, we have that ability to do that because of, you know, training or positive networks we've developed or skills that we've learned throughout our lives. And, you know, through those things, we can really, you know, make it so that we can live the life that we want to live.
Right. And sometimes it's just with determination to get something done, to not have to call somebody else over. You know, as we've been trying to find our way through different hiccups with the technology for the event, you know, my first thought was, well, maybe I can get so-and-so to help. And I'm thinking, you know, I really don't want to ask so-and-so because so-and-so can see, and I don't want to have somebody say, well, you had to call in somebody with sight to help you out. I don't ever want to have to do that unless I ask out a general call for help and somebody that's sighted say, oh yeah, I can help you out. Then that's a different story. You know, but when I'm out and about or doing something, you know, I want to try and do it on my own. And that's, you know, and it, as we've talked about, you know, many, many times, Lisa, it's sometimes it may take us three or four or five times longer than it would a sighted person. Yeah. And it's so incredibly frustrating that
it is,
you know, yeah. but we want to do it on our own.
Right. Yeah. And can I add, David, the key is to also, you know, to be able to do these things, but also just like anybody else would, you know when we do need our help, when we need others' help. And, you know, to make that decision for ourselves, that's really the key here.
Right.
Us being able to make that decision to determine whether or not we need a help and, you know, a helping hand, or when we need that help, and not for someone else to decide that for us, that to have someone decide that we need help, that's actually a hindrance.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. You don't want them to look at us and say, oh, that guy must need help because he can't see, or, you know, whatever. And, you know, again, like I said earlier, you know, I will ask for help if I need it, if I need some help. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the issues that I have, if I'm out and about on my own, and I haven't been out and about on my own since the 8th of March, when I was in Florida at that conference, you know, if I need help, I'll ask. And, you know, yeah, I was getting off the plane, you know, when I was going to Florida, and they saw me with the cane. Oh, do you need a wheelchair? I'm like, you see me standing here. Why would I need a wheelchair?
Yeah.
You know, I can walk, and, you know, but some people will. I know there's a blind person that I know that, you know, he has some, you know, bad knees, and, you know, he would take that wheelchair, especially if it's a long walk, but I'm happy to walk it, and I'm happy, you know, I always like to follow people. And I saw that on the plane, they, you know, there was a lady in a wheelchair, and I said, they said, do you need help? And they said, I said, is somebody coming for this person in the wheelchair that you were just talking about or talking to? I don't remember. Oh no, somebody's coming for her. I said, you know what? I'll just walk right behind them. And that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I could hear the wheelchair going, and, you know, the guy knew I was there following them. He didn't think I was stalking them. And when it was time for her to peel off and go to either a different baggage claim or a different to get on another plane or whatever it was, you know, I just continued on. I asked the guy, hey, where do I go? And he, you know, said, you know, go straight and you'll hear an escalator. You go down there and that's baggage claim, you know, and I was fine with doing that. And, but if I ended up going the wrong spot, I would have asked somebody, hey, I need some help. And Lisa, I guess I'm assuming that's, you know, with the time, the extra time that it takes, and finding places, you've run into the same sort of thing.
Yeah. Actually for the convention last year, so the convention was in Vegas, of course, but I went to visit a friend of mine in California before the convention, and very good friend of mine. And she insisted that I take advantage of all of the help, you know, that the airline was going to offer. She said, tell them you're visually impaired and they'll scoop you all around. She said, first of all, the airport is a nightmare anyway, you know.
Okay.
So I would hate to see you like struggling to read signs or what have you. And I said, oh my gosh, I really don't want to do that. You know, I didn't like all of that attention all over me. And the one thing I will say, did it save me a lot of time? Oh, yeah.
Right.
But I really struggled. I only did it that one time. That was the first trip that I took on my own since being visually impaired, because I've traveled with others, you know, that I, you know, they were like my guides, but that was my first time traveling alone and being, you know, since being visually impaired. And so I went from Philadelphia to Los Angeles, from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, and from Vegas back to Philly, but I still never got used to that, you know, that attention and being scooped up. Like, yes, it saved me a tremendous amount of time. And it is very difficult for me to read signs. But I think I would rather try to figure that out another way, you know.
Right.
Some things, even with this coordinating this talent show and getting spreadsheets together
that
and files together and just kind of keeping all of that order. Someone else could probably do this in a fraction of the time it's taken me. But, you know,
right.
It kind of is what it is, you know. The thing is, we strive for accuracy anyway over speed. There's really nothing I can do about that. Like, I use the software to the best of my ability.
Right.
It just takes longer. I mean, that part kind of is what it is. I think just going back to what this event, this Meet the Blind Month, this White Cane Day, what this is all about. It's awareness, you know, it's just, okay, here we are, we're part of their community. And for me, being low vision,
it's really critical that people see people like me who are in between the two worlds of sighted and blind.
Right.
And someone else put this so great. I could not have said this better myself. He said, oh, I understand where you are. He said, when you're with your sighted friends, you're the blind person. When you're with your blind friends, you're the sighted person. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. Yeah, that is totally
that's
it.
Funny.
And that is totally my world. That is totally my world. And it's tricky, but I am hoping, I actually do not know a lot of the performers, but I think we have a sort of breadth. Yeah, actually one performer I'm thinking of now is also low vision. So that's good. I think I need to be out there as well, you know, as part of this community as well, as an educating tool, that blindness is a spectrum. And I think people forget that. You know, when you think of blind, you think of you cannot see anything. You're using
right.
a white cane, you've got dark shades on, you know.
Right.
But that's so not just the total, pardon the pun, that's not the total picture.
Right.
It really is a huge spectrum, just like we've learned to understand high functioning autistic children. It's the same with the visually impaired community. It's a huge, huge spectrum. And don't assume that, you know, because someone is using a cane, but they can still see certain things, you know, they're not necessarily trying to perpetrate a fraud. It's just
right.
the cane is one identifier, but there's certain skill sets they still want to use. And all of the doctors that I have had have no problem with me using the remaining vision that I have. I have not had one doctor say, you know, there's some people that are very, kind of legalistic about it, you know, like you should be wearing sleep shade and you should be using your computer with the screen off. And, you know, why, you know,
right.
if it's not to the, if, you know, why not use some of the, I mean, this vision that I have, remaining vision I have left, can be to my advantage as well.
It's just a tool, just like everything else that you use. And Harriet, I kind of think that the performers in the talent show are probably so excited to be part of this, because, you know, people, you know, they're always trying to show that they can do things. And it's always something, you know, hey, finding the bathroom or going to the vending machine. You know, now they're going to do something they actually really like to do, whether
yeah.
it's sing or play an instrument or whatever. And I do agree with you, Lisa, people don't get that it's not all or none. It's
yeah.
always something in the middle. Even if it's
yeah.
just a little bit, it's always something in the middle. But, you know, and again, it'll be interesting to note, you know, of the performers. And again, it doesn't matter. I mean, most of them are going to either be part of the NFB or folks that, you know, would be considered blind in some way or another. And as we know, Harriet, the NFB classifies anybody that's legally blind to totally blind, just to say blind, because
blind,
it is confusing.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
But again, like, you know, when we were talking about, Lisa had mentioned the image of a blind person, you know, that those are, and when we talked about like this, you know, blind people all, you know, can sing and, you know, are good singers. Well, those are all stereotypes and,
right.
and
mm-hmm.
the kind of, you know, kind of what we're trying to dispel here.
Correct.
I mean, that's actually a big, big, big portion of what we do in the NFB, is to just dispel those notions about blindness and what blind people can and can't do. I mean, for example, like, yes, we talked about things that might take us a little bit longer to do, but then there again, there's things that actually we can do quicker than sighted people. For example, if I check my email on my phone using VoiceOver, I can just speed read through, you know, 20 emails like in like 5 minutes, you know.
Right.
You know, like I'm a pretty fast Braille reader, so I think I can read that, you know, I use that every day in school. And you know, that's my main medium for acquiring and delivering information. So I'm pretty proficient at it. Other things, like, you know, that sighted people don't know, like sometimes blind people have really good mental mapping skills. So sometimes it's easier for us, like, you know, sighted people say, oh, you go there and then you make a right over here and then you walk 2 blocks and walk and turn right over there, you know, but like create those mental maps, and we can find places just as easily or just as quickly as other sighted people. And you know, using our canes or guide dogs, we can get there safely, just like anybody else can. So sometimes some things we can do faster, and some things it takes us a little bit longer to do.
Right.
And you know, it just goes to show you that there are stereotypes about blind people, and or any, you know, subgroup.
Right.
And we have to work to dispel those misconceptions. And that's one of the biggest things that we do in the NFB, things like this talent show and other outreach activities that we do. They all have that same genre, if you will, in the background of helping to change what it means to be blind.
Right.
You know, people think blind people are second-class citizens, but we don't believe that. And we know that. That's not true. I mean, I don't think of myself as a second class citizen. I don't think you do, David or Lisa, you know? Mm-hmm. So we are trying to dispel that. And, you know, we often say it's respectable to be blind.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, which means you know a blind person, you shouldn't look down on them, but, you know, see them how you would see any human being.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny that you were talking about listening to your email. And I was thinking about you today. I was reading a headline, and I don't have my speed. My speed is at around 74%. And I know yours is either 90 or 100. And I just wasn't getting this one word. So I went off my mobile and I walked over to my computer and I highlighted the headline. And then I had my computer read it, which I don't use VoiceOver on my computer, which I think I've told you guys. But I use it's called text to speech. And so I hit the thing, and then I realized what it was trying to say, because the word coworker wasn't hyphenated in the headline. It was saying
a walker.
It was like cow worker.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or it was co-working space. And it was like, what's a cowerking space? I just couldn't get it. Cowerking, what does that mean? And so I thought of Harriet. I'm thinking, man, I can't get it at 74. What's it sound like, you know, even faster? But it was because it wasn't, it should, you know, co-working, you know, probably should have been hyphenated, you know, and that's, you know, the way things are anymore. You know, when people are doing stuff on social media, you know, you are is your, but it doesn't say your when you're listening on your phone. You know, it sometimes will say on my computer when something says,
right.
You know, it's a nice day out. My computer says it's a nice day out, like it's in France. And so so it is kind of funny how, and again, just like with the old saying, there's more than one way to skin a cat is exactly how it is for us. You know, a sighted person might do something one way, and sometimes it may work for us, but a lot of times it doesn't, like cooking. I mean, I weigh even liquids, which I've talked about before on the show. It's not the right way to get the amount of a liquid, you know, on the, you know, to know what I've got, what I'm about to drink. If I have 32 ounces, I know that 32 ounces of water is about 930 grams. So I know that that's what it is. Not every liquid is going to be 930 grams. Some are heavier, some are lighter. And that's why it's best that if I use something a lot, I will, you know, I, with Liz's help, you know, use the measuring cup and we'll pour it out and say, okay, here's 32 ounces. And then I'll put it on the scale and then I'll know, you know, 32 ounces of milk is X number of grams, or 32 ounces of oil is, I hope I wouldn't use 32 ounces of oil, but, you know, is Y number of grams and so forth. So, you know, there's all sorts of different ways we can do it. You know, and, you know, bringing it back to the talent show, I don't know if you guys have any musical type talents like we're going to see on the 17th of October in Believe You Can. I, in second grade, wanted to play the violin. And so my parents and I went to this store in Swarthmore. We bought a violin, and, you know, I had my first lesson at school, and they told me, okay, well, you put the music, I don't remember if it was actually on the violin or if it was on a stand in front of me. Well, of course I couldn't see it. And it was in the days before you could look something up on YouTube. How do you teach somebody who can't see music to play music on a violin? So 2 days later, we took the violin back, and I, you know, that was the end. That was the end of the musical career.
Well, so. I used to play piano.
Okay.
I played piano for a while, and then I just got kind of bored with it, and just, you know,
just stopped.
Okay.
I like to sing, and I have a very good friend. We sometimes reminisce about the time that we performed in our high school talent show.
Okay.
We didn't win, but we got really, really good response. Like,
yeah. Okay. And what
did you sing? Standing O, but To Be Real by Cheryl Lynn.
Okay.
Yeah. What did they, you know, anyway, so, I do like to sing still, you know, around the house.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of it. I will share, and I can't believe I'm about to say this publicly, oh, yeah. But I am, one of my kind of like on a bucket list is to learn hip hop.
Okay.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun. And that, you know, I remember hearing a motivational speaker saying he was in front of some sort of conference. He was in front of a crowd of people, like 1,000 people. And he said, how many of you here are singers? You know, a couple people raised their hand, you know, and he said, if he had gone to a school with the similar amount of kids and said, how many of you here are singers? Most of the kids would have raised their hand. They weren't right. saying, you know, and, you know, they weren't saying that they could sing well. They were just saying they like to sing. Listen, really I love speak. To sing. I yeah. sing all day long. You know, every night I get my blueberries and blackberries and raspberries and grapes. And, you know, when I'm out of some things, I sing about them. And, you know, Jane laughs at me being home, and Liz, you know, Liz will say something, and you know, it's awful. But I still like to do it. And how about you, Harry? What do you?
Yeah, when it's funny that you. Each said an instrument, David with the violin and Lisa with the piano, because I actually do both of them.
Okay.
Wow. I've taken piano for many, many years when I was a kid, just like you, Lisa. And I'm actually beginning to learn the violin right now.
Oh, that's cool.
It's something that I've always wanted to do. I actually always wanted to play the violin when I was a kid, but instead my parents, you know, had me take piano, which was like something that was actually recommended by one of my teachers, but now I'm doing the violin and I absolutely love it. It's such a beautiful instrument, and it's like one of those things that I've always wanted to do, and I'm so excited that I could do it now that I have, you know, a violin. You know,
I mean, it's helpful if you're learning it to have one.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny because actually we grew up without a piano.
Okay.
Yeah. So
how did you learn it then if you didn't have
it? I actually had to learn, like, practice at the school that I went to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or, you know, go to a neighbor's house.
Yeah.
We didn't have our own piano. So it's nice to actually have a violin that I own.
Right. That you could do right there.
Other than that, I love singing off key by myself with no one listening, and you know when you're just so happy you love to sing. I mean, I don't sing off key on purpose, but that's just
right,
how
just
I
how
know.
It comes out, right?
But I do love singing as well.
See, that's the thing that I think as you get older, and for the listeners out there, Lisa and I are close to the same age. Harriet is quite younger than us. So as Harriet, as you get older, you'll care less of who's around while you're singing off. It won't bother you at all because it doesn't
bother
you.
I'm looking forward to getting there. I'm looking for one of those, looking forward to one of those, one of that perk.
Actually. Right. You
know, yeah. You
know, that's a perk of getting older, I guess.
Would you guys say that you have even, you know, since you both play the piano, and I did have a keyboard for a while but I never, you know, I was never great at it. Now with the, you know, the psoriatic arthritis, forget it. It's not going to happen. But I do have a very good ear to pick out notes. Like if I hear a song on the radio or if I'm watching a movie and I like the background music, we had a piano for a while that the kids learned on. And I would go over to it and try and figure it out. And that was one of the things that I like to do. I thought, you know, it was kind of like a puzzle to think, okay, let's see if I can get it. And so do you guys both have a good
no.
ear for that? You don't have a good
I
ear?
Don't. I don't. Mm-mm.
What yeah. about you, Harry? You have a...
I don't think it's as good as people think. Oh, you're blind. Oh, so you must really... No, but I actually learned how... No, it's not. It's not.
Okay.
I mean, it's better than my singing, but it's not a good, like, okay. I could be like, oh, I know that note. You know, it's nothing like that.
Okay.
I actually learned how to read Braille music.
Oh, wow, really?
That's how I learned my pieces, by reading the Braille music and then memorizing it and then playing it. And then, you know, if I forget something, like a note like, oh, was that a sharp, or, you know, was that supposed to be a flat, or, you know, whatever, or a time signature or something. I could always refer back to the Braille, but that's how I did it. I just learned Braille music.
Okay. Okay. And as far as Believe You Can, let's start with you, Harriet. What do you have any ideas of who's one of the favorites, do you think, if you have any idea? And I really don't, of, you know, maybe may come out on top, because there are going to be prizes, which I've mentioned in previous episodes. There's a first, a second, and a third. So the top vote getter, you think it's going to be somebody with music? Do you think it's going to be, you know, the clog thing has me a little interested. what's going to go down there? So
right, yeah, no, I mean it's I didn't really think about it beforehand, but now that you asked me, I do know that one of the singers is, you know, she went to school to be trained, you know, in, she majored in voice or singing or something.
Oh wow, okay.
So I mean, if I had to make a prediction, I might say she might, win one of the three prizes at least.
Okay.
Well, we have, there's at least one other person who is a professional singer. And I think we have someone who is also a professional musician.
Okay.
I think you're talking about the same person.
No, because you said she, and I'm thinking of a man.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
A guy that's also a professional singer, and another gentleman. I think he plays music professionally as well.
As far as the folks that are set, and I think we have 19 total. Mm-hmm. Do you know what pieces people are singing? Are they going to do classic?
Yeah.
What are some of the
Runs the gamut. One of our lead performers is doing Billie Holiday.
Okay.
But then we have someone else playing classical music, singing classical. And I think there are a couple of original songs.
Oh, wow.
At least one original song. So, yeah, we've got we do have a lot of singers.
Okay.
But I think even within that category, there's a lot of diversity.
Okay. Well, it should be a fun night. And again, it's believeyoucan.live to buy tickets. It starts at 7 p.m. on the 17th of October. I will be co-hosting, as I said earlier, with both Lisa and Harriet, and it should be a lot of fun. Please go to believeyoucan.live to buy your tickets. $10 for an individual ticket, $25 for a watch party if you're going to be watching with your family. You will then get to vote at the end of the show who you think was the best act. And again, top vote getter will win first prize, and second will get the next level down. And then there will be a show place, a show for third place, and they will win a little bit of money too for their troubles and entertaining. I'm sure they all will be, including the three of us as hosts, because you know there's always going to be technical difficulties. Maybe Lisa will have to sing to bridge the gap there. And you better practice just in case, Lisa. Hey, listen, maybe you'll end
I'll
up getting
to be real, huh?
yeah, there you go.
Revive it.
You know, maybe everybody will like it and you'll end up getting the most votes and you'll walk away with some money.
And then they'll say it was rigged.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
So, Harriet and Lisa, I really appreciate you joining me on episode 95 of the I Can't See You podcast. And, again, please come out and watch us, on Zoom. Tickets are 10 and 25. Harriet, thank you. Lisa, thank you. And
thank you so much. Thanks so much, David, for having us.
Sure.
Yeah, thanks, David.
Again, my thanks to Harriet and Lisa for coming on, and hopefully we can have them on again with a wrap-up episode in a few weeks after the event has happened. Remember, you can buy tickets, believeyoucan.live. That's believeyoucan.live. Tickets are $10 for an individual ticket, $25 for a watch party. We're not suggesting you invite people over to watch, but if you have a family that may be watching together, or you want to give us a little bit of a donation, that would be great too. Again, believeyoucan.live to buy tickets. And tickets will remain on sale until the 16th of October. So please, I really appreciate it if you would go over there and buy some tickets. like some of my friends have. Thank you, Alex, for purchasing a watch party ticket. And Johnny from Texas, I really appreciate it. Another watch party ticket. All is appreciated, whether it's watch party or individual. And again, remember to join us on the 17th of October, 7 p.m. Eastern. Links will go out. If you've purchased a ticket, links will go out on the 16th of October where you can go to watch. And so that will do it for today's episode. Oh, before I go, and I just wanted to mention this with Lisa, I have been trying to get her to start a podcast. You could hear how she is. She sounds great. She has a great head for things, blindness, obviously, because again, we all live it. And so if you would reach out to me so I can forward your messages along to her to start a podcast already. I've been talking to her about it for a while. She was on an episode of Blindability, something I have not been on yet. And she sounds great. And I think she would be a great host of a podcast. So reach out to me at the previous mentioned numbers, 646-926-6350. And tell me what you think she should do a podcast on, blindness related or otherwise. Again, she sounds great, and she should definitely start one. You could also reach out, icantseeyoupodcast@gmail.com. Show notes, as always, are available at icantseeyou.com/095. Remember, I can't see you sounds like a whole sentence, but it is only 7 letters long, icantseeyou.com/095. Still having some trouble with the website, so no images will be on there. As soon as I can, I will get images of both Lisa and Harriet on for today's episode. And back with last week's episode, I will have some images of the construction on our new office and studio. But that will have to wait until I figure out what's wrong with the website. But I do appreciate you joining me for episode 95 of the I Can't See You podcast, my last episode in Studio C, which, as I've mentioned before, is nothing more than a closet with a desk and a lot of shelving and not really many groceries because they've all been packed up. But I do appreciate you joining me. Thanks again for listening. Please stay safe. Continue to wash your hands, wear your masks, and do whatever you can to stay away from people and stay well. And I will talk to you next week from Studio B. Very excited. Thanks again.
Thank you for listening to the I Can't See You podcast. Follow David on Twitter. He is at David Bench.